Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May the 19th. Joining us this morning, Spruce Point or Points Unknown, take your pick, Yana Valakovic from the California Cooperative Extension. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian.
See, we're not going to give up where the bat cave really is.
No, we're not.
Oh, alrighty.
We like to keep everyone guessing.
That's right. You don't want the fan club to inundate you this morning.
Right. Yeah, I know.
You know, those talk shop groupies, we're a really vicious crowd, so watch out.
and our paparazzi crowd, you know.
There you go. Okay, Winston, why do we say it?
Powwow. Why do we call a council a powwow?
Oh, good grief.
That ought to be something really simple. Isn't that what Indian councils used to be?
It is.
You're on the right track.
It's a time to come together, but I couldn't relate to the word.
Yeah, it's probably Indian for gathering without hurting people or something like that.
You get half credit. Powwow is indeed an Indian word. The Indians of the New England coast first used it in referring to their medicine man. Then it was transferred to their ceremonial rites. Afterwards, it came to mean any gathering at all.
Huh. So the medicine man, huh? Okay, well, we could use a little bit of that these days, huh?
Yeah. The whole globe could.
Oh, no kidding. So there's an awful lot of stuff, Yana, that's out there on the headlines that we could be talking about. But I think probably get rid of the easy one. Well, not the easy one, but the simplest first. Karen Deemer, manager in Arcata, said Friday that with the governor's revise, that she now has the budget and they're starting to do their preps. Have you gotten that same information or at least an update? So, you know, through the UC, you kind of have an idea what you're looking at for the next cycle?
Yeah, it's a bit of a work in progress. And the listeners may know that the Cooperative Extension Program is founded in county government and founded in the University of California, at least in California. So we're funded a couple of different ways, and both parties have to be robustly contributing for our programs to go forward. So the May revise has implications both to county government as well as to the University of California. So on the county government side, there are, you know, a few good pieces coming through, and, you know, this is Tuesday, so it'll be Board of Supervisors Day, and there'll be an update on the budget today in the board meeting. And there's a lot of challenges. The good news seems to be there's quite a bit of funding that will be passed through the CARES Act, which is related to those federal assistance dollars coming down from the federal government to the state to the counties. And one of the real challenges for the counties has been that those funds have been really limited to counties of 500,000 and greater. And so that's been the hole to fix in those assistance dollars, because they haven't had much impact at the North Coast scale, where most of our counties are on smaller population numbers. So looks like there's at least coming some pass through that way. I'm sure there's some strings attached to those dollars, but I mean, it's going to take a while for us to figure out how to dig ourselves out of these holes, and everyone's budgets are so hard to anticipate because property tax is being delayed for those who need it, and sales tax is down, and there's just all these moving targets, and so it's a real challenge budgetarily to understand what the real dollar is that we're dealing with. And then at the University of California scale, where we get funds from the state, we have been where we were looking at a 5% increase to our program, which would have been a real blessing, because we've had a bunch of structural budget issues that haven't been rectified for a long time. And so it wasn't going to end up being an increase overall, but it was going to at least stop the hole. And now we're looking at a 10% decrease. So amplified out, that's probably a 20% decrease across the board.
So
that, again, is still predicated on what is negotiated from the federal government with these assistance dollars that are being offered. So I don't know. I hope it's not as bad as it looks right now.
With the fact that Janet Napolitano is leaving the UC as the, I guess, chancellor, I think is the title, or president.
President.
Does that change things? Does that, I don't know, even know if the new person has been appointed yet. Same priorities, different priorities. You know, when you got a new captain running the ship, there oftentimes things can change, plus or minus.
Right. Yeah, it's a really good question. The search process hasn't completed yet. My understanding is that Janet will step down in August, and so, you know, they're finishing the recruitment process now. I know that Janet Napolitano was largely selected last time because of her managerial experience as being governor of Arizona, as well as being Homeland Secretary, you know, for the federal administration. So she had a lot of management experience. She's an attorney, and an attorney general has been also in her experience list. So she was highly regarded and was a name, and so was really sought after because of that. She, you know, leaves with an interesting history, and she and Governor Brown didn't do so well with each other. So we're still have some legacy issues related to their rocky relationship, and it'll be interesting to see what the new president develops. I don't, you know, the budget will be signed before this new person comes on board. So I think, you know, this new person could be helpful next year. You know, so many things are uncertain right now. University of California hasn't announced what they're going to be doing with classes come the fall, where the CSU system has declared that. And, you know, it's just so hard to predict what is going to be available, how students are going to feel, how families are going to feel about where they're willing to send people, and how do you deal with all the changes in infrastructure needs to support virtual learning, to support, you know, those kids that, or young adults that don't, you know, come from the same equal financial background and so have difficulty with online engagement.
Just lots and lots of variables that are out there. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. Jana, the concept of change at the helm, you'd mentioned that, or we'd talked about the UC turnover and some of the budget funding and things of that nature, which obviously are really critical. But the community also probably has a little bit different changes now. Maybe not in our area too much, but in other parts of the state, things have changed significantly. Does that have any impact at all with the services and the programs that you're able to kind of coordinate? Or is that what they're dealing with and what you're dealing with is much more localized or at least regionalized in our area?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, everything has changed for everybody right now for the most part. So, you know, there's huge interest in localism, in gardening, in trying to do something that brings a little joy in people's lives and something to look forward to. So we're seeing people develop gardens in times that they have never done before. The concept of a victory garden, which is an old term, but, you know, really is about what people can control in their own lives. So we're seeing huge interest in all of our programming that relates to those, you know, very basic questions about when to plant, how to plant, where to plant, how to maintain, how to you know, do the cultural care of gardens, as well as chickens and chicks and, you know, all that kind of, you know, fun stuff when you've got time at home and people are working through, you know, finding new ways for discovery and learning. So that, it's nice to see that peak in interest. when it comes to the technical resources that we provide for the producers, you know, the beef, the dairymen, the timber producers that we see in the North Coast, I mean, that, you know, we're answering and fielding different questions now and trying to help think through markets and other opportunities and, you know, some work on trying to support more processor development and, you know, anything we can do from an economic development perspective. You know, we won't see results of that work for some time, but we are certainly trying to support people, support our businesses locally, and help through those technical issues. And then, you know, some of my colleagues and my team are also really working on the food security issues, where, you know, there's just a lot of people that need food right now. And, you know, working with Food for People and working on food supply issues and trying to help out for those who are most in need in our community right now. And that's not unique to the North Coast. That's happening all over the state.
Has there been any relaxation with some of the food items that can be donated or procured either by the food bank or that can be given out? You know, I'm thinking of the restaurant folks, and in other states I know this happens, where at the end of the end of the afternoon, let's say they're a breakfast lunch, they've got some stuff that's left over. They pack it up and take it down to the equivalent of St. Vinny's or Salvation Army, one of the food distribution points. And it doesn't get wasted. It doesn't get thrown out. It gets consumed by people who need the food rather than adhering to some things that might have been nice standards when situations were different. But right now, it's much more black and white than it is some of the less strident and less stringent regulations?
Well, that's a great question, which I really don't know the answer to, and it would probably be better to ask, you know, Betty Chin or Food for People or their Cata House and how they're handling those issues, you know, because there's also COVID in the mix in all of this, too, and, you know, an additional level of care when it comes to food handling to make sure that there's not an infection point along the way. So I think it's probably best to work with those folks. I mean, the other challenges are, what do you do with perishable products? Do you have enough capacity to store and manage those perishable products and get them out in the right places? That's, you know, a big challenge. And, you know, Food for People had the fire in their warehouse. Couldn't have, you know, happened at a worse time. Not the fire, sorry, the flood in their warehouse, right, that damaged their warehouse recently. And so they've had to reshift and reallocate. But I would ask them those questions more directly. I don't say something that's inaccurate in that system. But, I mean, everybody's all hands on deck, for sure.
Yeah, and I know that there's a lot of folks that would volunteer, if they could, homemade products. But, you know, that's also taboo anymore. I know some guys that used to do, like, pie auctions as fundraisers, and then somebody pointed out, you don't know where these pies are coming from, even though they had 40 or 50 years of no issue. And some of those concerns that I think, I wouldn't want to call them luxury, because certainly in California with the legal bar as it is, there's going to be liabilities associated with it and huge risks. But it seems like we've gotten the cart before the horse, so to speak.
Well, I think everyone's trying to do their best to get the food where people need it and procure it if it's unavailable in the easy, normal channels, and trying to make sure that we take care of our own.
Yeah.
These are hard times, and the hard times aren't over yet. I mean, we see the, you know, a number of businesses continuing to close every week, as well as, you know, bigger institutions with layoffs. So the ripple effect is going to compound for a while.
Right, right. We don't know what's going to be on the backside of it. Have you had a lot of inquiries from restaurateurs looking to try to do things a little bit differently, a little bit more efficiently?
You know, we, in our office, we don't do so much of that, you know, daily food management, but I can anticipate that there are some opportunities for change. I know, for example, the Farmers Market Association is doing a box program now where it's going to start in another week or two, but you can pre-order what's available at the farmer's market and do a box pickup.
Right. So, yeah, I had heard about that. That's kind of a cool idea. Maybe we can pursue that after the break. It's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic, UC Extension Coordinator. That's close enough for today. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDAC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Jana, the challenge I think that is out there, you know, you mentioned the farmer's market and doing a pre-order box, which makes a ton of sense. I'm sure there's a lot of grocery stores that can do the same thing, you know, without having the delivery. But there, when you're in the producing end of things, as we are kind of coming into the season here also, whether it's with the fruits or some of the liquid products or, you know, the various things, what is their protocol? Do they have to run around with the masks and the gloves and things like that if they're, let's say, a blueberry farm and they're picking blueberries? Is that a concern that they have also, that's adding to the cost and the time and everything as part of this whole new approach?
Well, sanitation is sort of basic for every producer, and, you know, it's all about washing hands, right? I don't know whether the COVID protocols have changed significantly for these producers. Certainly when they're in contact with other people and when they're in direct sales, and when they're working with other staff, you know, that all the social distancing and you know, mask up standards would probably be the same for them as they would for any of us. I think the issue really is trying to make sure that you can distribute your supply to maybe a new consumer or a changing consumer. And, you know, I think the direct sales opportunities seem to be coming on board. I was just looking at the Northwest Growers Association, which, you know, reflects a whole lot of producers from beef producers to, you know, fruit and veggies to those that provide, you know, starts and other nursery products. And they are all directly advertising and providing opportunities for consumers to go direct to them. Some of them are doing drop-offs. Some of them are doing, like, this multi-farm box program where it's almost like a community-supported agriculture, but it's a service that is, you know, coordinated through the Northwest Growers Association. So I think they're doing some interesting and innovative direct marketing. I've seen some of it through social media. I think people will have some pretty good success because we produce really high-quality food here, whether it be beef, dairy, or, you know, fruits and veggies. And so I think, you know, we have a lot to feel good about as consumers in the North Coast.
We also have got a lot of livestock, you know, the cattle producers. You mentioned the chickens a little bit earlier. So, you know, there's poultry. We've got the lamb. With those aspects, certainly we're hearing of pockets of demand throughout the country, either over the inventory that's available or that there's a surplus. Are the distribution channels and things of that nature for a lot of the food products, are they still up and happening? Like, what's going on the grower end of livestock?
Yeah. Well, the majority of our livestock producers in the North Coast are what we call cow-calf operators. So, you know, they produce a annual crop of beef cattle that then are finished somewhere else, and then our process somewhere else. So we've got some bottlenecks right now in the system because the slaughterhouses, you know, have had a number of issues, and that's creating a slowing in terms of the flow that goes from the finishing side into the processing side. And so that's doing something both to price as well as just ability to move people's animals at the right time in the right place. I did hear Sonny Perdue this week from the USDA Secretary of Agriculture, who was talking about feeling like they've managed the slaughterhouse issues better, and we're going to start to see flow and availability more regularly. So I'm hopeful that that's the case. I mean, the interesting thing is that people's interest in protein has not waned, and a lot of folks have, really bought extensively and, have a freezer stock full, and they have a continued interest in meat availability. So that's a good sign in general for our local producers, because that, we want to keep demand up on that way. We do have some boutique products here, some grass-fed finished and organic finished products, and the real asset we have going for us is that we have Redwood Meats, and that's a USDA approved processing facility, and so we at least can handle some element of our production and processing here in the North Coast, and we have a real advantage because we have that infrastructure compared to other communities.
Yeah, a little bit of a
I don't know if more could move through, or if we could help expand that processing capacity, if this issue continues to challenge us, in the many months to come. But we've got some advantage that way. There's been a huge interest in local grass-fed products. And so, like, if you go to the grocery stores, I shop a lot at Murphy's Market in Sunnybrae, and, the grass-fed line is gone. People come in and buy it as quickly as it's coming out. So that consumer market change is interesting. I mean, the other challenges, and I heard, is that, about 50% of the food we produce in the United States is consumed outside of the home pre-COVID. And now, what does that mean? I mean, people are still eating. So how do you get it from those traditional places of restaurants, institutions, schools, hospitals, large volume consumers, into the grocery stores and into the flow for the average consumer to eat at home?
Trying
to readjust that processing to flow processes.
And the changes also, as the consumer in this one, instead of trending, we just kind of fell off the cliff. Okay. But that doesn't mean that everybody
right.
else was ready to move and react as quickly. So there is that catch-up time, so to speak.
That flow will catch up. And, we produce really high-quality meats in the United States and really high-quality meat here in the North Coast. And so, in general, we're going to be in better shape.
Better than a whole bunch of other areas, certainly. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. We haven't talked too much about the fishing or the seafood that we have in the area. And granted, mm-hmm. it's a lot less than what it was, but it's still certainly more than a lot of communities have got available mm-hmm. to them. Are there parallels as far as demand? Are there parallels as far as getting the product to the marketplace outside of the area in the seafood industry, as well as what we see with the hooves and the wings?
Right. Well, you may remember that I'm a forester, so
yeah, I know. You don't find too many fish on the top of the trees. We get it.
No. But fish are good fertilizer. From what I've heard, and I feel like it's a bit of rumor, but consumers by and large prefer to cook fish or to consume fish in restaurants and less at home. And so there's an adjustment process either in skill and ability as well as, moving a fresh product around. So I think the fishing industry is having a bit more hard times when it comes to their markets and market availability than some of the other products are.
Well, that would make sense, too, if a lot of it's through the airlines. you know, flying it from here to there with the challenges that they've been having as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are we going to do about, you know, the Oyster Festival this year that consumes, you know, how many thousands and thousands of oysters? You know, there's just a lot of adjustment that's happening there. I think on the cool part is, like, with wood products, though, right now, there's so many people interested in backyard projects. So, like, the fencing industry, if you're selling fencing, you're doing pretty well right now because it's something that the average person can do on their own. And people are home, you know, looking at their yards, sprucing up their yards, and recognizing that, hey, let's, now that I'm home, maybe I'll take the time and finish the fence. So, you know, there's more interest in wood products right now. So that's,
yeah, home improvement and nursery I've seen nationally being really, really strong. So those areas are maybe backfilling a little bit, but that still doesn't replace, you know, if that ain't one of your businesses, it's kind of still kind of tough. If folks are looking for some additional information, are you guys continuing to update the website?
Yep, we're updating the website. We've got a new gardening class coming through online real soon. I think it's even starting this week. So if they want to tune into, I think it's for University of California and Humboldt. You'll run into our website real easily. Got lots of classes and programs going right now, and we're figuring out how to do it in a way that's less painful for people online. And we can also answer your questions. You know, our office is never closed, and we are available by appointment, and we're available to, you know, do consultations over the phone or figure out some creative way on how to answer people's questions.
Kind of like this show.
We're nimble.
Well, thanks for coming by. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully the extra day off will feel like a vacation instead of a sentence not to be able to go into work, huh?
Uh-huh. Yes. No, it's time for some creativity right now.
Yeah.
Thank
all righty.
You.
Thanks, Yana. Okay. We've been talking shop with Yana Valakovic. Join us tomorrow afternoon, or pardon me, tomorrow morning. This day, night, I don't know what day it is. I'll see you next time.